The feds could be coming for you and maybe me, because that's right. In new reporting from The Intercept, it's been revealed that the federal government might be cracking down on, quote, extremist gamers. I guess that's not people who like games in an extreme way. Joining us now to tell us more about this story is the reporter Ken Klippenstein. Ken, welcome back to Rising. Great to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So tell us what's going on here. I looked at your story, and you know, it's kind of same old story, some level of coordination and cooperation between a gaming company and the federal government, the same way we've seen with social media. Tell us what the concern is and what's happening.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The federal government wants to take the arrangement that they've established with these social media platforms, by which agencies like the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, and other parts of the national security community, dialogue with them, communicate with them about alleged threats, purported threats, and get information from them to help better inform their understanding of the so-called threat landscape. They want to take that and expand it to encompass gaming platforms. So things people say into their headsets, text-based stuff, basically take what they've done with social media and expand that to gaming.
And what they've done with social media, you know, is something that has concerned a lot of us, given what we've seen from the Twitter files and other things, that it's not just, you know, monitoring for actual violent extremism or terrorism, but with the social media companies ended up being very ham-fisted suggestions that they, moderate political content relating to elections, COVID, and some other subjects. With video games specifically, these intelligence law enforcement has a history of, you know, reaching out to kind of loner type people on the internet and actually like ensnaring them and entrapping them. So that is another thing I would worry about here.
Yeah, I want to quote from the report that's sort of central to the story, which is a report put out by the Government Accountability Office that conducted an audit of these efforts to expand these mechanisms to gaming companies. It says, quote, the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Department of Homeland Security have mechanisms to share and receive domestic violent extremism threat-related information with social media and gaming companies. So basically, through the DHS's intelligence office, called the Office of Intelligence and Analysis, and the FBI's 56 field offices, they liaise with these companies in the form of briefings. The FBI has a tip center that it processes tips from these gaming companies through. And again, it's bi-directional. The national security agencies are giving them briefings and sharing with them information about what they consider to be threats. And then the gaming companies are communicating them to help inform their picture of what the threat landscape looks like. So that's essentially what this says is that they already have these mechanisms in place. That's already there. But what's interesting about this report, it's kind of like an audit. It says essentially there's no strategy in place. There's no clearly defined objectives or goals. And so it's kind of a ominous warning about how this can be carried out when so much of it is done. I think the exact words used was ad hoc, done on kind of like an informal case by case basis. And a number of gaming companies, many of them didn't want to be named for the report. They were interviewed for the report, describe having productive relationships with their local FBI field offices. And so part of the challenge of this is surmising what exactly it is that constitutes this interaction, because there's so little information, not even necessarily in a nefarious way, but just in that there's no strategy in place to define what it is that they're even trying to accomplish here. And so that's the point that the Government Accountability Office report raises.
Yeah, as the non-gamer here, perhaps, at least not since I was trying to slap my brother in 007 as a child.
It's a great game. Goldeneye.
I loved it. Yeah. He hated that I could kill him with my slap. My understanding is that these games are less like the one I just described from, you know, 25 years ago, but that these kids often, adults often are wearing headsets and are talking to each other, having relationships and friendships through the games, kind of like how you would pick up the phone and call someone and use it as an avenue for communication back in the day or for an older audience. So when they're talking about assessing the threats that are being articulated or a potential threat that might come through one of these audio conversations or writing that's happening in the context of the game, how is that any different from the government saying, I'm gonna spy on your phone call or I'm gonna spy on your emails because we think that this cohort of people presents some as of yet unidentified high threat risk?
Well, so one crucial difference, and I should note, you know, there has been pressure brought to bear on all kinds of different gaming companies. And as I mentioned in the story, Senate Judiciary Chair Dick Durbin sent letters, I think a year or two ago, to, I'm going to list these off, Valve, Activision, Blizzard, Epic Games, Riot Games, Roblox, Take-Two Interactive, demanding that they crack down on this so-called, you know, violent extremist content. And so it's really coming at them from all directions. To answer your question, I think one crucial distinction, and this has been mentioned in testimony to Congress before the FBI Director Christopher Wray, they're talking about, you know, how do we get, one senator mentioned, how do we get information from these gaming headsets? How do we have visibility into what's going on there? I think one distinction is kind of the same one they do use with social media, where they say, well, this is publicly available information, it's not private, and so they have a different kind of access. To give you guys a sense of how seriously the intelligence community is taking this, they just put out, I think maybe their first ever assessment on open source intelligence strategy, the intelligence community. You can read that online, but a week ago, it speaks to the massive quantities of information that they are able to process in the form of these social media and other, you know, supposedly public platforms that they're using to inform their analysis and you know, picture of the supposed threat landscape. And so that's really the situation they're in.
You know, video games, violent video games, have kind of been a punching bag for people in both political parties for a long time. There were a lot of casual assertions made that, you know, if there is a rise in violence, it could be attributed to that. Mass shootings can be attributed to that. I know more recent social psychology research shows that that is not the case. And in fact, if anything, people who do have a predilection toward violence can use video games as a healthy outlet. I also know that, you know, while social media is causing a depressive effect, you know, you can see it somewhat in the data for certain categories, particularly young girls. You don't see that as much in terms of anxiety for young men because they're more on video games, which are actually having this social, healthy and positive aspect for young men to actually make friends. Now, of course, the discussions can get heated sometimes, and I do think paying attention particularly to swatting, which is a newer phenomenon and has resulted in harms where they, you know, they sick SWAT teams on someone else, you get mad at it in a video game, you send them to their house, that kind of thing. So I'm not saying like there's no role for law enforcement to consider real world harms that can result from video games, but focusing on political extremism seems very weird. And like, what is terrorism, violence being organized over Fortnite players? I don't really think that's happening.
Right. Yeah. And the point is made in the Government Accountability Office report that, you know, they make a distinction between what's called true threats, which is like an imminent threat of harm, which I don't think anybody disagrees with. Law enforcement should have some kind of a role in responding to, because as you point out, you know, these swattings happen. But it goes farther than that. It goes on to include the dissemination and furtherance of these supposed domestic extremist content. And so the question is how they define that. And again, because of the lack of strategy, because of the lack of oversight, because of the lack of guardrails that exist, we don't have a very good answer as to the specifics.
Hmm. Mm. Ken, thank you so much for joining us and for doing this amazing reporting.
My pleasure, guys.